What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful here with a name you know. We got the head of MLW. We got Court Bauer ahead of their big MLW show, May 13th, 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. Somewhat of a home for them. Court, how you doing?
Hey, it's good to be back, man. How's it going?
It's going good. What's the thing you can't talk about?
I can't talk about it. Well, whenever I talk about something, I get into trouble.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I'm in a unique position here because, like, I hear things, and I'm like, should I ask him about it? We'll get around. I'll get around to the rumblings I've heard later on.
Don't get me into trouble, Sean.
I'll see if I can conjure something out of you. But MLW, man, things seem to be going pretty swell for you.
Yeah, you know, we're on a good run here from Dallas to now going to Philly and then New York and then back to Chicago for the first time in like 3 years because of the pandemic. It's going to be great to get back out to the Midwest. So it's good to get back to kind of like the new normal. It's not the old normal, but it's good to have crowds back. It's good to go to Philly. It's like our home away from home. Our first show in 2002 was in Philly. So it's kind of nice that 20 years later, almost to the date, we're back doing Philly again. We're pretty pumped for it.
And, I mean, I broke the news last week. Alicia Atute re-signed. I also gotten some information. Holiday, he signed a multi-year deal in 2020, but he's still got plenty of time left on that deal. You've announced recently that Alex Hammerstone is staying. You've got, Fatu under a long-term deal. This has got to feel pretty good. Like, four or five, Mads Kruger is signed long-term. You've got four or five of your top names locked down, like a lot of that upper card in an environment where it is a very competitive talent environment. How does that feel? And I mean, what kind of process do you use when you approach these talent about re-signing?
Yeah, it's a great feeling because you have stability. You can map out, I like to map out 18, ideally 24 months, but injuries, situations, pandemics change everything. But you want to kind of have a rough outline where you're going. So knowing the major pieces on the chessboard is important, and also figuring in there's going to be some possible new additions along the way and stuff that helps. So having these guys locked in, having them being invested in MLW means the world to me, because it's not like, yes, it's great to have them on the roster, but their commitment to MLW and the acknowledgement that they're so into this, they're the system's the right system for them, you know, it means the world. It's a very validating feeling for me on a personal note. For us, it's, you know, when we go and recruit them, it's, you know, it's a conversation of like, you know, how you feeling about your time here? Is you having a good time? How you feeling about things? Well, we have a scenario we'd like to run by you, and we give them the vision for it and then kind of take it from there. But it's been, you know, to have that kind of like, I don't know, 90% success rate in getting renewals for the guys we want. It's, you know, it's pretty, and now more than ever, they have all these great options and all these other opportunities. That's a big thing for us. So it's a huge get for us. It's huge for my team that works really hard and developing these relationships with the talent. So do I. And for the talent, you know, we want them comfortable here. And I think for some of them, like Fatu, Hammer, Mads, it's like they've been there. You know, these aren't guys that just started in wrestling a few years ago. They've been around, but this is the system where it just meshed and connected. And from a creative point of view, from a financial point of view, they're finding that level of success that they have been hoping and looking for in the system. And you know, what I always say, look, we're going to grow together. So like our year one, generation one contracts, generation two contracts, generation three, you're seeing, an escalation in what we're able to offer financially, because we're growing, they're growing, they're benefiting from it. So I'm standing up and I'm giving, whatever I said is going to happen, it's going to happen. And so I'm good for my word. And it's funny, one thing I'll mention about the contracts, because everyone's like, oh, those MLW contracts. So when we started in, you know, as a baby company in a nightclub in Orlando in 2017, we had a lawyer draft in these contracts. They were very simple, simpler times. Mm-hmm. And as times changed, we looked at those contracts and they weren't exactly Swiss cheese. I wouldn't say they're edible, but they were very close to Swiss cheese. So then we said, okay, we got to get a better legal team on this and get these contracts up to snuff. And that's what we did. So when these guys are locked in, they're locked in now. And you know, the contracts are better for us and they're better for the talent now financially. You know, and we're also the company where you can be on national TV, on BN Sports in 20 countries, and also have the freedom and liberty to go out there and do your indie bookings. We don't take a piece of that action. You go out and do you. We don't want to get involved with that mess. If you miss a flight or you want to negotiate a higher price, that's all you. Yeah. Please use that as a platform to get more bookings. And it's worked out great. It's worked out great for them. And so we really don't want to have those walls up around us. We want to give that talent that opportunity.
So you mentioned that about how the contracts have changed. And a few years ago when AEW started, we sort of saw some of the holes in the Swiss cheese, some of the people that would pop up over there. And
you could have fit an iceberg in some of those.
So, I mean, yeah, that is something that has absolutely changed. And that's something that we heard about, I think, last year, maybe the year before, too, that these are more of exclusive deals. As, I mean, you definitely want to protect your assets and your resources, and you nailed down four of those big pillars. One of them I want to talk about is Alicia, because she told me that she had pitched to you, like, I would like to do some on-screen stuff. And you said, we'll circle back to that. And she said that was about 6 months before even the seeds were planted. So we're talking like maybe a year before, maybe 10 months to a year before she even appeared. She was like, I might want to do this. So that's in line with your like long-term vision of the company. She's very clearly like one of those exceptions that can switch from interviewer to straight up entertainer. How have you felt about her performance so far? Because she's shown really a really great new edge.
Yeah, she's really interesting in that when you walk through kind of what you're going to do, her process is she kind of just listens and is absorbing it. Some guys are more active. Well, okay, they run around, they actually go through it, and they kind of walk you through in slow motion. She takes it in, she's thinking, and then she gets quiet. And you're like, she's not really going through the whole thing. She's just kind of thinking, internalizing it. And then when she goes through the curtains later that night, she whips him into a frenzy, and you're like, wow, she could turn it on, but the wheels are turning her head. And you can see she's visualizing what it's going to be, but she's holding back the energy. She's holding it back. And then she just unleashes it when she goes in front of the crowd, which is a cool, interesting process. Most people, they just like going through it and kind of staging it. She just internalizes it, which is, it's great to have someone that has a different process and is really awesome. She's fearless. And we didn't know how over the top Holiday and her were going to get in Dallas in January when they betrayed Hammerstone, and that kiss popped the truck, popped the gorilla area. It popped everyone in the back. They're like, whoa. And the crowd too, everyone was like, whoa, what just happened there? And it was great. It was great TV. And I want to do more of that kind of stuff, but it has to have, you have to plant the seeds along the way on that trail. And we planted those seeds during the pandemic. We were doing these Pulp Fusion like digital shorts, which is promos, just to bridge the gap. And there was an undeniable chemistry between Holiday and Alicia. Little did we know what was going on behind the scenes as this was evolving. And so, the best version of wrestling is when you can blend reality with the fiction. And that's what we have here.
I even joked that after we saw MJF make out with his IRL girlfriend on TV, like, were there dynasty kissing lessons going on or something?
I would hate to see what those FaceTime sessions are like, but it's so funny because we had taped our TV like 2 weeks prior to that. But when it aired, it almost was like within 24 hours of each other. Yes. Like, it was just like, it's just serendipitous, or just the dynasties just in tune throughout the universe.
Most friends go to like pottery classes together or something, but they were. They were taking
do remember Hammerstone giving a tanning lesson to Holiday and MJF at one point. So they've done the tanning lessons together. I don't know about pottery.
I love it. Did you consider releasing Richard Holiday when he didn't know who D12 was?
I was very concerned about that. When we, Holiday, when you find out he's a Michael Bublé fan, once you know that information.
That makes sense.
Sorry, Holiday, if you're watching this. So you're like, okay, I get that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if he rattled off some Michael Bublé lyrics, I probably wouldn't know them either, unless they were on a commercial somewhere or something.
Yeah,
like
he wanted a new theme song. He's like, yeah, you know that Michael Bublé song? I think if we did like a version of that, I'm like, no, I don't know that song.
Oh my gosh. As we filmed this, we saw Morrissey pop up on AEW. He's been an Impact. And this led a lot of people to ask me, well, what have you heard about Enzo? I've heard Enzo's been pretty easy for promoters to deal with along the way. You're one of them that has. Is that bullshit? Is he easy to deal with? How were things with Enzo when he came in?
I've known Enzo since his pre-NXT day. So it's like, and I connect with some of the people like at Maybach Music, like Spiff TV. So it's like, we've known each other for a while. It's like, some guys I just go back a little further with, so you have a rapport. He's been, he's great. He's over with our production team. He's over in the locker room. I mean, he meshes well in our system. He really does. It's a pleasure to have Enzo in the company.
It seems like he's worked really well. I've heard no complaints about him from anybody that do signings, indie shows, anything like that. And I think a lot of people, they kind of want it to be sensationalized or something. And I'm like, man, the guy shows up and does his job. That's all I hear.
Yeah, and I think in wrestling, it's like if you commit a sin of, having a issue in a locker room, and it kind of gets you and dogs you elsewhere. I've seen that in so many places with so many guys. And it's like, God, people can, evolve or learn. And I don't know the circumstances of his, locker room conflicts in WWE. I wasn't there. So I've only, what I've read and stuff, that's all I know about what, if there was any drama backstage.
Another person that's made the transition, I think, really well is EJ Nduka. Like, he was a guy that I can tell you that people in WWE were very shocked became available on the free agent market. I believe that you... This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Probably in that same boat. You were shocked that he was going to be available, and you all snatched him up pretty quickly.
Yeah, when he became a free agent, I was shocked. I mean, he just checks off all the boxes. He's athletic, he has charisma, he has the look that Vince, if he could have a cloning factory, would say yes. Put that on assembly line number one. So yeah, and I was told it was a numbers game, but I'm not privy to what happened there. Don't know. I don't know if EJ knows. But he's an absolute breakout prospect, and in our system, he's been amazing. It's like I was gifted with this incredible talent, great presence backstage, awesome with the media, and bell to bell is continuing to evolve and step up and make big strides. And I think the team with Tankman really, really fast tracked that for him.
The opposite of an incredible talent is Shaza McKenzie, who I will fight in a diner one day. She was able to come in and do some MLW shows as she's over in the States. The pandemic really hurt, in a serious sense now, did hurt people like her who were on their way over. And now she's getting this opportunity, and she's worked such a great variety of places. It's clearly you're starting to see a little bit of normalcy in that as far as talent goes. Fingers crossed. But what sort of challenges has that presented for you? For somebody who does plan your stuff out so far ahead, the pandemic really threw a wrench in all that.
right off screen, I have a page and it's called the contingency page. And it's for variables of, okay, if 5 or 6 of our matches need to be changed next week in Philly, this is what we're going to do. And it's at least something to work off of so you can improvise. And like, you just don't know if someone's going to test positive for COVID. We had it with Von Erichs and it was in Dallas when they were chasing the tag teams. Couldn't have been worse conditions. They said, look, we'll get, you know, what do we do? Should we get on a plane? Said, you know, look, we have a COVID compliance officer. Check in with him, and that's decisions out of my hands. If it's, if you guys got COVID, you're not just, you're stay, take care of yourself and stay at home, isolate. And so, you know, you've got to prepare for those inevitable scenarios. And then you also have, like, when you have a contingency sheet, if you have injuries come up or there's talent like we had in Dallas that does something that's egregious and you have to change a card for a matinee show the next day, you have something to work off of. It may not be ideal, but it's something to work off of, which you didn't have 2 years before a pandemic. So you're more prepared for things that you can't foresee. So, I mean, I think that's good. Sure, you want absolute stability like we had in 2019, but you have to roll with the punches. I think every promoter's learned some way or somehow to have to adapt on a very quick turnaround to different circumstances.
Another thing that I liked seeing, a guy like Swerve, who was headed to AEW, he made sure one of his stops along the way was MLW, which put him on the radar of so many people. Like, and I've always said that when you pop up on MLW TV, you pop up on the radar. General wrestling fan, other wrestling companies, just in general, people take note. He came back. How did that necessarily get? I mean, did you know he was heading to AEW at that point? The rumors were certainly out there. And by the time it aired, obviously, and he got to appear, he had already landed there. But were you aware that he was heading that direction?
So with some, we carve out a portion of our roster so that we can do something interesting, like bring a Shane Strickland in and have that flex room on top to do interesting matches. And maybe it's a TV program where it's 4 weeks and you're out. Sometimes it's 8 weeks and you're out, 12 weeks and you're out. And so short-term, like, handshake deals, it's beneficial for both parties because it's like kind of like the ECW thing.
Yeah.
You're kind of like the stop on an island in between two ports. And hopefully, and I think it's been the case with most of the guys that have done that, we're going to enrich your momentum, your presence. We're not going to diminish you. We're going to hopefully heat you up. So you can leverage a better deal elsewhere. You have more momentum. Hey, and if it works out, you want to stay here, great. But, you know, let's make something happen here and have fun. And so Shane, having been the first champion of the new era, it was great. It was a delight to have back. And, we're delighted for him and his family that he's been able to turn a, you know, unforeseen, unexpected release into a positive thing where I think he has a sense of more creative freedom. He seems to be thrilled with everything. And that's good. That's what you want. You know, in this is a very passion driven business. And yeah, I mean, yeah, you're here for the money too, but you know, if you're not feeling that creative experience and you don't have that freedom to some extent, it can become a drag fast.
We mentioned people that had kind of made stops there, appearances. Killer Cross, who also had formerly worked in MLW, popping back up. I mean, that he is such... He's such a natural. I mean, he's so good at this. I mean, a lot of people don't realize he was on track to be a pro fighter at one point. And he was like, no, I want to be a pro wrestler. Now we see him back on the independent circuit. We see him popping up back in MLW. What is that like to like sort of reestablish that connection when people have been gone for quite a while?
Well, you know, they're at a different point in their journey. You know, they've seen some ups, they've seen some downs. You know, they've gone through a few more battles since you last linked up with them. So there's also like a kindred spirit if they've been in the same system that you had been in. So you can kind of get a read for like, well, how was it for you? And so it's just, you know, you're catching up on some new chapters that since you left off with them. Sometimes you keep in touch, but you're in a different system. It gets weird. Everyone's moving in different places. So it's almost like, I remember when I was at WWE, how like I fell off, like just talking with a lot of people for a few reasons. One, they're constantly looking for jobs. So it's like you're in an awkward place because you can't really help them too much. But also it's almost like you're in a prison, not in a negative sense, but in the sense of like, you're so in this bubble, this isolated, like almost like this, it's a whole new universe within a universe. And it's just moves so fast that to keep up with people so hard. so hard to do because you're on the go and you're traveling. Back when I was at WWE, we were writing three shows, producing three shows a week. And that was a hard pace back then. Now it's, they're producing even more content.
So you had mentioned there's things that you can't talk about. I'm going to see what I can conjure out of you based on some things that maybe I've heard.
Okay.
I've heard that maybe you all are in talks with a streaming service or a cable network or some sort of TV platform. Is there anything you can add to that?
I can't really, because I'm getting into trouble. I'll say that, you know, obviously we had a pretty big setback last year. We were teed up to announce something. And so, you know, a few days after that, you're just kind of shell-shocked and not sure, like, what do? You kind of like, you're just there. Everything's locked and ready. So then you kind of have to reassess. You're like, oh my God, I have to go through this whole process again. It's like Groundhog's Day. Yeah. So then you go back into the process of it. And these conversations and things take time. It's not like you just call up someone and they're like, yeah, I want that. And I want that. It's like, not like going through a dry creek. God, I wish it was. So, you know, it's like to have to go back down that path. It's, you know, it's a draining process because it's just a lot of, there's an ebb and flow to it. And so, and then you get, you know, weird things hit, like the holidays where LA just shuts down basically from Thanksgiving through the new year, well, maybe mid January, if you're lucky. And it's a slow process. So yeah, we're pretty far along with some conversations now. Okay. And I want to be cautiously optimistic. There's no pen to paper. I don't want to give anyone false hope, but my job is to find us a new deal, and that's we're in pretty deep orders now.
Yeah, before you had mentioned that, I wanted to clarify, like, was it you would have gotten in trouble because there were talks, or because obviously a pending lawsuit going on? There's a lot going into that, but I understand that you can't talk about that. But another thing I wanted to ask you about, I had had word last year that a women's featherweight title was coming. Mm-hmm. What's the progress on that, and like is it still in the plans?
Yep, the first champion will be crowned in Philadelphia, Taya Valkyrie versus Holly Dead. It's a, you know, I think a lot of people think it's just that we're having a cutesy name for the featherweights and summit. That's an actual weight class in boxing and MMA. There's bantamweight, strawweight, featherweight. There's all, you know,
I love it.
Welterweight. And so, you know, we did that because we want to have multiple weight class divisions, just like we have for the men. It's not trying to say, oh, we're trying to define women by weight. It's just like in fighting, we try to lean into combat sport. And we have middleweight division, MLW, we have an open weight division, we have a heavyweight division. Maybe one day we'll have a super heavyweight division. I don't know. We got big juicy now. So for the women, we wanted to have its own weight class, and the featherweight weight class is that it goes up. People never ask, well, what does the weight go up to? 205 pounds. And so we could then theoretically, because the middleweight division is right there too, we can go up to 205 with that. So it's an opportunity to give it its own title instead of saying women's middleweight title. We wanted to have its own shine. So what I'm going to do right now is actually I got the championship right here, and this is the first look at it, fresh from Wildcat, and there she is.
Okay,
there she is, and
nice.
You can see here, it's got the Goddess of War on the sides, and of course it's feathers. And some diamonds.
You could have put me on one of those side plates.
Yeah, well, we got to get our digital media championship for that.
Yeah, that looks incredible. So, I mean, that's that is obviously a huge step for MLW, and now a lot of times, just as a result of you all having a firm championship in place, like MLW is going to become like a discussion point when people say, "Where's this free agent going to go? Where's that free agent going to go? What about this avenue for this person?" And there is a robust like talent pool, probably the most we've seen since I would say probably 2018 before AEW snatched up a bunch of people, of women's free agents. How has that been like sort of navigating that and talking to people about coming in and doing spots or even signing deals?
Yeah. Dave Prazak has been awesome and overseeing the division. He's, you know, a visionary in women's wrestling. He's opened the door for so many incredibly talented women for forever. And so for him to be a part of the company and help us with that, I couldn't ask for a better person to shepherd that in. You know, I think he's, you know, Kathy Carino and Dave Prazak are like would be my draft picks, right? And Kathy at the time was also, you know, tied up, I think, with some WWE stuff. So, you know, we're very happy to have Dave here. And I have full confidence and trust in Dave. You know, he's the one that really works and is spearheading this. And he's done a great job. He's emailing in the middle of the night, emails in the morning. He's really just so invested in this work. We're excited and pumped to see this division kick off.
There isn't really a women's wrestler he doesn't have a connect to. Like, no. And I've never spoken to Dave one-on-one, but I mean, everybody just talks over the moon about him and credits him for the progression in their careers and things like that. You'd mentioned Kathy Carino, who a lot of people know as Allison Danger. Is she involved? Is she going to be involved? Have you had any talks with her?
No, we haven't yet. You know, that's something that it's been brought up, honestly, internally, but we haven't reached out to her. She's awesome. Mm-hmm. We have big fans of her in the company. So her name has come up repeatedly. I've had to tell them, oh, actually, at the time she was at WWE, I was like, guys, we can't, I'd love to reach out. She's with WWE. But yeah, no, we're certainly interested in having a conversation.
And with Prazak involved, I mean, you have somebody that's very familiar running an all women's promotion setup, all that. Is that anything that's in the consideration down the line? I mean, that is always like a natural question from the first time you establish a women's title. When's the all women show? Like that always happens.
Yeah. I mean, that's end game for us. It's like we, you know, when we have our media rights discussions, it's like the primary series. It's talking about live specials and then the offshoot opportunities. And, you know, we want to be able to do a women's show. And we think it's very possible. You know, I think they deserve their own time, not to share the time. I would love to have it. I think it would be an awesome show. I think it would have a distinctly different feel to it. And I think, you know, it's just a matter if we need a partner to support it. And if we have a partner that wants it, man, we will. How many hours do you want?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, in MLW always, that not only do they have the modern content, there's such a great library as well. How is that sort of leveraged when you're talking with places like that? Is that something that's brought up? Like, hey, you know, we got CM Punk and Dusty Rhodes and a lot of people in this video library as well.
Yeah, it's certainly beneficial because a lot of places you talk to, especially for the streaming thing, more than a linear play, or cable network play, they want hours and hours. They want a catalog because they want to keep people watching. They want them to just be able to go in and just do a deep dive into that library. So to say your library goes back to 2002 and has, you know, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, Joey Styles, CM Punk, and, you know, then you have guys like Bryan Danielson popping up. It's a good library. It's a good thing to have. The more footage you have, the better for a lot of these conversations. It's now more than ever, they just want to be fed content. So it's certainly strategically appealing to them, to be found.
Court Bauer, I want to thank you so much. Of course, MLW in Philadelphia, May 13th. Again, you say it's sort of your home away from home now. Where else are you looking to establish as sort of, I don't want to say a home, but somewhere that you want to really get into and make almost maybe even a regular type of destination for MLW?
Yeah, so I'm looking on my whiteboard, so I'm just going to cheat on this question here and tell you what's on the horizon for us, where we want to hit. We want to hit LA. Okay. We have a few things in the mix for Los Angeles prior to next year, where everyone's going to converge in Los Angeles and take over Los Angeles in the spring. There's some markets in Texas. We want to hit San Antonio. We want to hit Houston. We want to hit Austin, Texas. We want to hit markets like Pittsburgh. You know, could we hit theoretically a Cincinnati, Sean? It's possible.
I would sarcastically say Lexington, Kentucky, but I don't want anybody to deal with an athletic commission out here. It's a nightmare. So Cincinnati works.
Yeah, I mean, like I've never dealt with that commission. I mean, you know, not as a promoter at least. But I find the commissions to be so helpful because they're very, especially now during the, you know, a pandemic and stuff, they're very instructive in helping things. A lot of promoters are like, oh no, they handcuff you, they're taking fees. But if they're performing a service and they're like all of our wrestlers, their blood pressure gets checked. If you have someone get injured, you know, you have the wherewithal to address it. When you don't have that, it's a problem. Do they allow you to like put wrestlers through panes of glass and things exploding. No, but now that's also not something I have a preference to do.
I agree. Here's where I bury them. In Kentucky, where I trained and did all that.
Yeah.
I had to go to Frankfurt to get a...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wrestling license before I ever took a bump. But when you are licensed to train, you then have the same rights as a Randy Orton within the state. I think that is very counterproductive. That is very clearly a money grab when on the form it says, who were you trained by? Well, nobody yet. But I still have to get my license to train to be a pro wrestler. But then I have the same rights as a 20-year vet. That screams money grab to me. And when it goes from government to doctors to lab court, because you've got to get your physical, sometimes you got to get blood work done, it is very clearly a circle of money making that I think far reaches beyond helping. Like, I found Ohio is very helpful. I found Ohio has a pretty good commission that, you know, they make sure you're sanctioned, they make sure you're legit. There are a few like that. But when you're licensing people before they bump as pro wrestlers and on the very form it says, who were you trained by? Well, it really defeats the purpose. There's no learner's permit aspect of that. And that's when I manage MMA fighters and they would say, oh, well, it's the same thing as MMA. I'm like, no, it's not. No, it's not. You don't need to be getting antigen tests for pro wrestling all the time. Like, there were some issues that I have with that commission. And that's why nobody ran TV here for 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, procedurally, a lot of that stuff is weird. And there's a lot, like if you look, I don't think it's this way now, but in the New York State Athletic Commission used to have a rule book when I first started promoting like 20 years ago, 2002, I remember looking at it, actual little, nice, small, little concise rule book. And they had all these weird archaic rules in there. And I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get my license suspended. Just looking at this thing. How is this? How do you do this? And so you have this weird thing where you've got, they sometimes there's like things that are carryover, holdovers, and other times there's just stuff that just, there's a disconnect. And
can't promote a show with an ice cream cone in your back pocket and rules like that, like that are on the stupid laws website.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could find that thing. I was so like freaked out by some of the stuff in there. It's like, even like the regulation of a ring and what it had to be. I'm like, how do I even know what that's supposed to do? I don't even understand what, you know, it would get really weird. But that's, you know, commissions are sometimes weird with that. But it sounds like you guys got something funky out by you.
And things like that, I think, could be good. Like, I've worked on rings that were warped plywood and they would pop up. And I saw people's boots get stuck in between and twist. If there was an actual inspection for that ring to make sure it wasn't garbage, that wouldn't have happened. Like, there are things for safety that I think can be done, but it's very transparent when there's like a money grab or something like that. I'm all for if your genuine concern is safety and making sure that things are okay. I'm not okay when people from the commission tell me, oh, well, we want to make sure that somebody in Paducah doesn't say that Hulk Hogan's coming to town and doesn't deliver. Like, I mean, at some point you got to rely on the fans to not be absolute idiots as well and think that Hulk Hogan's going to come drop the leg on Kamala in Paducah, Kentucky.
Well, I also think, you know, you think about what that's got, I think it's like a holdover thing. It's like in the 70s and 80s, you know, there was no social media. Sure. There was no, you weren't, you know, everyone's indoctrined to wrestling in some capacity. They understand it. They know what's the BS and what's the real deal with that stuff. So the audience is more sophisticated. Some of those things don't work. But you know, I'm glad that they do have some of the stuff that they have, but every commission is different. And a lot of states don't even have commissions. You know, it's like, it's crazy.
Court Bauer, let the people know where they can follow you, where they can follow MLW, where they can support MLW.
Give MLW a follow at MLW on Twitter, on Facebook, if you use Facebook still, facebook.com/Major League Wrestling. We're on Instagram at Major League Wrestling. Our YouTube is Major League Wrestling. And our weekly show is streamed for free worldwide on YouTube. We're also on cable nationwide and on the dish on BN Sports in English. and in Spanish. We were number one last week on BN. We beat soccer, so we're happy with that.
That's incredible.
And we often are on Saturday nights. We often are number one. We were number one when we first started IMLW on BN. They put us with Evander Holyfield Boxing and an MMA show that was vaguely out of like Vancouver or something. Yeah. They thought we would get the lift from them. We actually killed them. And then they moved us to our own night. So we've loved that relationship for the last 4 years. We're happy to have it. So tune in. You can watch us on Saturday nights on BN at 10 o'clock or stream us Thursdays on youtube.com/Major League Wrestling and see us in Philly. Got a stacked lineup. There will be a new champion crown with the World Featherweight Championship. Holiday versus Hammerstone. Then we have a Weapons of Mass Destruction, Fatu versus Madge Kruger. There'll be crates ringside and in the ring with stuff in them. This thing will be weaponized. There'll be a biohazard box. I'm not going to even tell you what's in that thing. Yes, but there is, I believe, a hazmat suit has been secured so that the referee has to open that area. Let's just say you want to look out for that. There might be some interesting, dangerous weapons in play. But
what would the Kentucky Athletic Commission say about this?
Yeah, let's just say, you know, we worked with the government to make sure this is military grade stuff.
Court Bauer, thank you so much. Guys, until next time, we're out. Hey, guys, this interview brought to you for the price of On the House by NordVPN.com/Fightful. Check out NordVPN.com/Fightful to check all your region blocked shows, get pay-per-views maybe a little bit more affordably than usual, avoid price discrimination, browse securely, all that good stuff. You can also use the code Fightful. You'll save 70% off, plus get one additional month for free. And it's all backed with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, just let them know you get your money back. There's no risk, and this investment is going to save you money as well, if you so choose. I often find that when I'm traveling, there's certain shows that I can't watch because it says I'm not in my home area. NordVPN.com/Fightful takes care of that. Reminder, use that code Fightful if you want. Hit them up at NordVPN on Twitter and enjoy the interview.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.